First John chapter number 3, that'll get us going here tonight. Going to continue on in our little study. It just keeps getting more and more. You know, as we get into it, we keep getting more and more. And this is number 5, and I didn't think we'd do number 5, but we're just going to keep getting into it here. And last week we looked at the people that were being deceived, but tonight we're going to look at the men of deception. The men of deception, those that are doing the deceiving. The men of deception. So here, 1 John chapter number 3, look here, verse number 1. It says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." That's a glorious promise there, isn't that? That's just amazing. We shall be like Him. In verse 3, "And every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He is pure." Verse 4, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law." Now the Bible is great. Whenever you get a definition, this is what this is, you get a definition right here in verse number 4 of what sin is. So you're like, what is sin? I don't know. Right here is a Bible definition of what sin is. There in verse 4 he says, "For sin is the transgression of the law." Sin's breaking God's word. Right there. In verse 5, "And you know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin." All these verses so far, we could just preach on each one of these verses. They're good, but that's not even where I'm getting to. But these are great. This is great stuff here. In verse 6 says, "Whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, neither known Him." Now here's my text in verse number 7. "Little children, let no man deceive you." Let no man deceive you. That's a warning for us here today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You again for the day that You've given. Thank You for this opportunity. Thank You for all of us You brought us in here today. Lord, I do pray now that You'll fill me with Your Spirit. I pray You give me Your words and Your direction and Your wisdom here tonight. And I pray, Lord, that You do what only You can do, and that's to speak to our hearts here tonight. Lord, change us. Don't let us leave the same way that we came in here today, Lord. The warning is there. Let no man deceive you, Lord. So speak to us now. We'll give You the glory for it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now the devil has counterfeited everything that God has made. God established His church. The devil has his churches. God calls men to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. The devil uses men to preach his gospel. God uses truth. The devil uses error and deception. I mean, think about it. We have entire nations today that are starving to death because they have been deceived. They have believed a lie. In India, people go hungry and they are starving to death while the cows are allowed to eat the grain in the fields. And the people will not kill them for food. Why? Because it's a fear of their killing their ancestors through the reincarnation process. So they literally starve themselves to death. Today we are in a world full of deception. I mean, we have the Jehovah's false witness. We have Mormons. We have Catholics. We have Methodists. We have Lutherans. We have Presbyterians. We have Baptists. Yes. Who's right? Which one of them are right? Are any of them right? Can we know who's right? How can you know what is right? Well, I'm going to tell you how. There's only one way. You've got to get in the Word. There is only one absolute authority, and it's God's Word right here. You got to know His Word. The only source of truth is God's Word here today. It's true. If you want to know what is right to believe, get in God's Word. Psalm 119, 160 says, "Thy Word is true from the beginning, and every one of Thy righteous judgments endureth forever." To know how to spot false doctrine, to know how to spot false teachers, we have to go to God's Word. All Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, 66 books, all Scriptures given by inspiration of God, meaning literally God breathed out His Word And He preserved it here for us today. Hey, so why? Hey, we don't study the false religions. We just need to study God's Word. Kind of like the people in the banking industry and the money industry. They don't go and study all of the counterfeit techniques. What they do is they study the real thing. They know the real thing in and out. They know everything about the real thing, right? The real thing we have right here. We got to study this real thing. We got to know everything there is in this Word. That way, when any little sly of error comes along, any yay hath God said comes along, we can look, oh, that's not right. I know what the God's Word says. Look at God's Word. Hey, now, like I said, last week we looked at the people that were being deceived. And today we're going to look at these false prophets that are doing the deceiving, the men of deception. And the warning is there, let no man deceive you. So number one, I want you to see these men we're talking about here. These men are ungodly men. They're ungodly men. If you turn over a couple pages to Jude, and there's only one chapter in Jude, so look there in Jude verses 3 and 4. Hey, these here, they're ungodly men. In Jude, verse number 3 and 4, it says here, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you, listen, that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Verse 4, For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men. What did they do? Listen, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. These are ungodly men. These false teachers, they deceive people. They destroy the faith once delivered to the saints. You say, what are you talking about? What is this faith? Like I mentioned earlier, it's right here. This is the faith preserved, King James Bible preserved right here for us English speaking people. But ungodly people want to destroy it. They try to destroy God's Word. Now, they may look the part. They may wear a suit and a tie, and they carry a Bible, and they even speak in religious lingo, but they are not godly men. They are ungodly men. They do not walk in the fear of God. He says here that they turn the grace of our God into lasciviousness. Does that sound familiar of what's going on today? They twist grace into an excuse to sin. Oh, listen, we're all under grace. We're all under grace. We can do what we want. We can go where we want, and we can say what we want, and we can just live however we want. We can go to the bars, and we can and stay in the drunkenness that I was in before, and we're all under grace. It's all about grace. That's just a lie of the devil. That is a lie of the devil. That is not biblical salvation. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Hey, that old man of me, he's dead. He's crucified with Christ. He's crucified with Christ, okay? Hey, listen, grace, God's grace is a great thing. But too many people misunderstand the grace. And I got to go back now. Go over to Titus chapter 2. I know I've hit on this a couple times, but this is important stuff here. This is important doctrine. Why? Because these ungodly men that are even out here in our neck of the woods here today, they turn the grace of our God into lasciviousness. Okay? That is just a lie of the devil. Titus 2 and verses 11 and 12. Very familiar verses. We get a grasp on these verses, though. There's a lot here in these verses. Titus 2, 11 says, For the grace of God. Think about it. The grace of God is great. For by grace are you saved through faith. God's riches at Christ's expense. God's grace is a wonderful thing. And we could talk about God's grace all day long. It's a wonderful thing. And he says here, this grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All the Calvinists are out of business right now. The grace of God appears that brings salvation appears to all men. All men. But I want you to get this in verse 12. That grace of God, that same grace of God that brings salvation, He is our teacher. It teaches us how to live. And He says it right here. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Hey, you're gonna be a little peculiar, aren't you, if you live by that? You're not going to look like the world. You're going to look different if you're living a godly life. That's the grace of God that brings salvation. It teaches us how to live. It teaches us how to deny ungodliness. It teaches us not to walk with the world. It teaches us not to look like the world or talk like the world, that there is to be a separation. That's all God's grace. Praise God for God's grace. But God's grace doesn't allow me to live a life of lasciviousness, as if I did when I was a lost man. You see, we are to live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. We are to turn away from everything that is ungodly. But yet there are many, 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 many of ungodly false teachers out there that deceive people, just like our verse says about grace. Just like it says there. You know, time and time again, God warns us. He warns us about apostasy, the three books of John here are written to warn us. Peter, 2 Peter's written for that. Jude's written for that. Paul gives warning in Galatians and Colossians and Thessalonians and Timothy and Titus. Warnings of apostasy and false teachers out there. And even Jesus Christ gave warning after warning in the Gospels. We need to take heed. What do? Study the Word. Study the Word. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." You got to know the truth. You got to rightly divide the word of truth. You see, grace is a great thing. But grace isn't a license to do and live however we want. Grace teaches us. And we only can know that by studying the Word of God. James 1:22 says, "But be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self." I think of some ungodly men in the Bible. If you would, turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 2. I think of the sons of Eli. The sons of Eli were some ungodly men. If you turn over to 1 Samuel chapter number 2, and look here in verse number 12, First Samuel chapter number 2, the sons of Eli are some ungodly men. First Samuel chapter 2 and verse 12, look at that. It says, "Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial." You get that? Sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. That term there, sons of Belial, it means this. It means worthless. It means worthless men. It means scoundrels. And it even has it's even referred to as being of Satan, devilish, low down, dirty scoundrel. Who are we talking about here? We're talking about Hophni and Phinehas. They were priests. They were ordained leaders. They were in charge here. But the Bible calls them sons of Belial. They're ungodly men. They are ungodly men, and they use their position to fulfill their lust and their greed here. Look at verse 22. Verse 22 says, "Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel, and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he said unto them, Why do ye such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people." They're evil. They're wicked. They are ungodly men. He says, "Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people to transgress. If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto the voice of their father." And they didn't listen to his father, and so God pronounces judgment on them. And they were later on in chapter number 4, they will die. But they were religious leaders with a title, but they were ungodly men. They stole from the offerings, and they committed immorality at the door of the tabernacle. Hey, there's many false prophets out there today, just like the sons of Eli, in position of leadership, and leading people astray. You see there in verse 12, it says, they knew not the Lord. They were ungodly men. They knew not the Lord. And so the warning is for us here today is that we need to know the Lord. Paul said in Philippians 3:10 that I may know Him. How do I do that? By His Word. Study the Word. Get in the Word. Hey, it's not enough just to come to church. Hey, if you come to every service, it's still not enough. You need more. We need more service. Just like in the book of Acts, they assembled daily. They got together and preached and prayed together daily. That's what we need. We could say our world is so much more wicked now. Their world was wicked then, but we could say it's so much more wicked now, and yet we got less of church. We need more of church. They were some ungodly men. But number two, I want you to see here, not only that, but they are satanic men. They are satanic men. If you could turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. Look here at verses 14 and 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Looking here that these men that are deceiving, they're satanic men. 2 Corinthians 11, 14 says, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Verse 15, therefore it is no great thing if his ministers, you get that? Satan has ministers. He has his false prophets. They are satanic men. It's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. These false prophets are disguised and they look just like Satan. They look just like ministers of righteousness. They look the part. They talk the lingo. But they are lost, satanic men. They're being led astray by Satan. And they're leading people into being deceived. Think about it. Satan never presents himself as Satan, does he? He doesn't come in the pitchfork and in the red suit like thing, right? He always comes as the one who knows best. He always comes as the one that, hey, I can give you real pleasure. Hey, I will give you fun. Don't you want to have fun with no rules and no boundaries? Remember, Matthew chapter 4, the devil came to Jesus Christ and tempted Jesus. Remember, three different temptations in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 9. The devil took Jesus up on a high mountain and he says, look at all of this world. Look at everything out there. You can have it all. You can have it all. All you got to do is what? Bow down and worship me. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 9, the devil said, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. All of it. Look at it, Jesus. It's all yours. Hey, Jesus, listen. You don't have to go to the cross. You don't have to suffer all that pain and agony. And you don't have to be left alone up there on the cross. And you don't got to take everybody's sin on you all at once. Look, if you just bow down right now, worship me, you can have it all. You can have it all. Right? The easy way out. Hey, aren't you glad God doesn't take the easy way out? Aren't you glad Jesus didn't take the easy way out? Aren't you glad He didn't just give up on us and fall down and worship Him? No, He said it is finished on the cross. He did what He came to do. Amen. Praise the Lord. But three times Jesus said, it is written. It is written. It is written. Matthew 4:4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Every word. Listen, if you don't have an every word Bible, you're not going to defeat Satan. You got to have every word of God. And in our English language, this right here is what we got. This right here, the King James Bible preserved for us, is the every word Bible. Not the NIV. The NIV has so many verses taken out. The ESV has so many verses taken out, and that's not knowledge that only I have. That's all out there. That's free knowledge. Anybody can get that. All those other perversions have verses removed, the blood removed, the deity of Jesus Christ removed, the Father removed, all these things removed. We need to have every word of God. James chapter 1 and verses 14 and 15 says, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." Every time. Every time, sin brings death. These here satanic men, they don't walk around with horns and pitchforks. They talk about Jesus. They talk about God. They talk in the lingo and they talk about the love of God. But it's not the Jesus of the Bible. It's not the God of the Bible. It's not the love of God from the Bible. I mean, think about it. Satan didn't appear to Eve as a scary devil, did he? He came to Eve and just presented a question. Yea, hath God said? Yea, hath God said? Satan came to Eve as a friend. Hey, as a friend. Hey, I'm here to help. You're all alone, it looks like. I'm here to help. Look, Eve was in a place she shouldn't have been. You understand that? Eve was in a place she shouldn't have been. She shouldn't have been away from her husband. Eve was off alone looking at the tree, that one tree that they couldn't eat off. Eve was in a place she shouldn't have been. If she was with her husband, think about it. If she was with her husband, she wouldn't have been deceived, would she? Adam knew not to eat of it. She was off alone. The devil comes along, deceives her. We talk about wives. The Bible talks about wives submitting to their husbands. That's what that means, to come alongside. To come alongside as a helpmeet. He comes along. She comes alongside her husband to lead the home, to lead you. And we talk about reverence. Your husband means to love him and respect him. So what is the significance of that with this story? Well, let me tell you. Wives, your husband is your head. Wives, your husband is the head. Husbands, the Lord is our head. The Lord is our head. Hey, not your wife, the Lord Jesus Christ. And wives, when you dishonor your head, you dishonor, which is your husband, you dishonor the Lord. You dishonor the Lord. And that's serious business there. All right, there is a... Turn over to 1 Corinthians real quick and I'll show you this. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. My point is, Eve was in the wrong place. She didn't reverence her husband. She didn't listen to her husband. She wasn't being a helpmeet to her husband. She was in a place she shouldn't have been. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, in verse number 3, it says, "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." Right there we go. There is an order that God wants us to follow. And when you get off of that order and you get out of line there, things happen. Eve was deceived because she got out of the line. She wasn't reverencing her husband. She dishonored her head by being in a place she should not have been. And we know what happened, right? The results were deadly. She was deceived. She was deceived. Hey, all I'm saying is Satan is a deceiver. Satan is a deceiver. Hey, the men of deception. We move on here. Number 3. We see here that they are ordained men. They are ordained men as well. Back in Jude verse 4, it says, "For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation." You see, these ordained men, a couple things about them, they choose. They chose. These men chose to go astray. At some point in their life, they rejected the truth. You and I have the same choice. We can make the same choice. We have the same choices to make. We either stick to the Word of God, we choose to do that, or we choose to go astray. But we make choices is the point. We all make choices. Every single day, we make choices. We make choices to come to church tonight. We make choices, and those choices affect our life. You say, "I don't like my life the way it is now." Well, maybe it's because of the choices that we made. Maybe it's because we are reaping what we've sown. The Bible talks about we will reap what we've sown. Hey, if you're a child of God, you will be chastened when we get into sin. If you sin and you're not chastened, the Bible says you're not His. Right? But choices are very important. That's why it's important we make the right choices. That's why it's important that we're in the Word of God and we're praying, seeking the will of God in our life, so that way we make the right choices. But these men here, they chose to go astray. In 2 Timothy, let's turn over there, 2 Timothy chapter 4, look at verses 3 and 4. Second Timothy 4, verses 3 and 4, it says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." Kind of like a lot of churches today, they just want somebody to just itch my ears, all right? They just come in, just say a couple things and that'll be all, okay? In verse 4 it says, "And they shall turn away their ears from the truth." Hey, we don't want to hear the truth of God's Word. We just want you to tell us some funny stories. Just make us laugh. Just entertain us. We want a preacher that entertains. Well, you got the wrong preacher. I'm not good at entertaining. But hey, I'm just going to give you what God says, okay? I'm just going to give you what God says. "And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." Kind of like, it sounds just like today's day. That sounds like that's what's going on in our world. Nobody wants to hear the truth, the truth. The churches where truth is being spoken and preached and taught, hey, those churches get smaller and smaller and smaller. And those places where you got the rock bands and the smoke and the donuts and the coffee and all those other things, hey, those are the places that people flock to. But you know what? There's no truth preached in those churches. We turned away from the truth. We don't want to hear the truth. These men here, they chose and they creep. They also creep. They slip in a little bit at a time, and they gain power and confidence there. And then they get in the office, and then they stand in pulpits, and then they lead conferences, and they author best-selling books. But their end is destruction. Their end is destruction, just like Hophni and Phinehas. Listen, just because a man has credentials, just because he's accepted by man, doesn't mean he's ordained by God. I could think of a lot of different religions or whatnot out there, but you can think of the Mormonism out there. Think of Joseph Smith, the founder of Mormonism there. He had some divine visions, he said, and so he went and founded the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, which is the Mormon Church, and it's all based on extra-biblical revelation and false doctrine. And you know what's interesting about the Mormon Church is they are very adamant about their religion. You know, I remember being overseas and there were Mormon missionaries all over the place. Everywhere we went, we would run into a Mormon missionary overseas. You know, they're adamant about that. But here's the thing. They've been deceived. They're spreading a false works-based religion. Hey, they've been deceived. They're not of God. Let me move on here. Number four, we'll see here that these men, they are deceived men. They are deceived men. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, in verse 13, the Bible tells us, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." That word seducers, it means imposters, or it can also mean deceivers. So we see both evil men and imposters or deceivers will grow worse and worse. We see that in this world today. People are becoming more and more evil. This world is wicked. The things that are going on, in this world right now, I mean, it's just like, the Bible is just laying out that we become more and more wicked, more and more evil. That's the world that we're living in. And a lot of them profess religion, right? They have religion behind their stuff that's going on. But I'm reminded of what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7. You know, we turn to this verse as well. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23, it says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven." And then verse 22, he says, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works." Hey, we did all these works for you. Hey, we preached all these sermons for you. We did all these things for you, but they were doing them for the wrong reason. They weren't doing them because they loved the Lord Jesus Christ. They were doing them to work their way into heaven. So that way the scale would outweigh the good scale would outweigh the bad scale, and they would be accepted into heaven. In verse 23, Jesus says, "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." And see, these people, they believed the lie. They've been deceived. They believe the lie. They believe it so much they can't tell truth from the lie anymore. They believed it for so long, they don't know what truth is anymore. In Mark 13:22, the Bible says, "For false Christ and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders." In Acts 20:30, the Bible says, "Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." Their warnings are here all throughout the Bible, warning us not to be deceived. There are deceived men out there that are going about speaking perverse things, false prophets going around, and they're doing it in the names and in signs and in wonders, but they're not doing it for the Lord. They are deceiving people. So what's my point? My point is, don't follow a man's word. Follow God's word. Stay in the Bible. You know, you got so many of these prosperity preachers today. You know, like Joel Osteen, he's a big one. Joel Osteen, he's a prosperity preacher with no gospel of a gospel, no repentance, no sin. It's all about prosperity and self-esteem, right? Self-esteem. 2 Timothy 4:3 warns of that. He says, warns us of those who will not endure sound doctrine, but shall turn away their ears from the truth. Remember. Got one more here. I want you to see here that these men, they are powerful men. Not only are they deceived men, but they are powerful men. They are powerful men. Turn over to Matthew 24. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. Look there at verse 24. Again, another warning for us here today. These men are powerful men. Matthew chapter 24, look at verse 24. "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." These here false prophets, they have power. I mean, you can think of some, they fill the stadiums, they pack out the churches. They have global followings on TikTok and Snapchat and Twitter. And, you know, they have like a million followers. Look how many followers I have. But remember, Jesus said the road is narrow. Not wide, it's narrow. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." I'm reminded of Noah. Remember Noah, he preached for 120 years. 120 years he preached righteousness, and only 8 got on the boat. Only 8 were saved from the flood. The whole world's wiped out, but only 8 were saved. Another example is Jannes and Jambres with Moses there in Exodus chapter 7. Let's flip over there real quick. Exodus chapter 7. These were some mighty powerful men here dealing with Moses in Exodus chapter 7. In Exodus chapter 7, look here at verses 10 through 12. When Moses goes up to Pharaoh here, and says, "And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called his wise men and the sorcerers. Now the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments." So they did the same thing. They did the same power, the same signs and wonders that God did here. Verse 12 says, "For they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents." But here's the difference, it says here, "But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods." You see, these two magicians here, opposed Moses before Pharaoh, and they did some of the same things that Moses did, but their power was from Satan. They're powerful men, but they couldn't stand up to the power of the true God. And these false prophets, these false preachers out there, that they perform great signs, they perform great wonders, great miracles. But remember, Satan has powerful men as well. Satan has power as well, and we need to just remember to follow the truth. Don't chase after miracles, just chase after God's Word. Chase after Jesus. You know, there's a couple other ones. Benny Hinn is another one of those faith healers out there. He's got so many followers, and he draws massive crowds with his fake healings. Another one is Kenneth Copeland. You know, about Kenneth Copeland, it was interesting because I looked up some information on him, and do you know what his net worth is in 2024? His net worth, it's over $300 million. He's a powerful man. Spreading a false gospel, a false doctrine. He was even known for saying that he was a little God, a little G-O-D. Hey, these here are just some examples now. Hey, if these men got saved, they changed. But the Bible's given us some examples that we can look at about false prophets and what they will look like today. So as I begin to close here, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? Right, we have all these false teachers out there, all this deception out there. It's overwhelming. What do we do? Let me just give you a few quick thoughts here as we close. Number one, you got to be aware of them. You got to be aware of them. And I'll give you some verses to go along with these as well. You got to be aware of them. Matthew 7, verse 15 says, "Beware of false prophets." There's our warning. "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." Matthew 7, 15. Right? They look the part. They look the part. Beware of them. Secondly, we need to watch out. We need to watch out. In 2 Timothy 4, 3 through 5, we've already read these here, but it says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." And then in verse 5 it says, "But watch thou in all things." We need to be watching. We need to be aware of them. We need to be watching. And then we need to test them. 1 John 4:1, we need to test them. He says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God." Why? Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. We need to be aware. We need to watch out. We need to test them. And we need to avoid them. Avoid them. Romans 16, 17 and 18. Romans chapter 16, verses 17 and 18. He tells us there that we are to avoid them. We're not to associate with them. We don't listen to their teachings on the internet, on the radio. We don't buy their best-selling books or anything like that. We just avoid them. It says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them." Okay? Avoid them. And then we're not to... another one. We're not to receive them into your home. 2 John 1:10. 2 John 1:10 says, "If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed." So you all have the Jehovah's Witness come knocking on your door. Right? You know they're spreading a false doctrine, a false gospel, a false Jesus. Hey, don't be like, "Hey, have a good day. Hey, Godspeed. God bless." No. No. Why? Because in verse 11 he says, "For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds." Don't invite them into your home. And lastly, and then we'll close here, hey, do not yoke up in marriage with them. Do not yoke up in business with them. Do not yoke up in friendship with them. The Bible says we're to be separate. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 14 through 17 2 Corinthians 6:14 through 17 says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers.
What do we do?
Search the Scriptures, John 5:39. Search the Scriptures, know the Scriptures, believe the truth, live the truth. There are false teachers out there by their lives, and there are false teachers by their lives. Realize that your life teaches as well as your words do. We need to get in the Word of God and not falter from it, not turn from it. Become a serious student of the Word of God, and that way we'll be able to notice error. We'll be able to notice deception, and we'll be able to turn from it. Hey, take heed, lest you be deceived. Be not deceived. Let no man deceive you. Let's pray.